Hello, and welcome back to Industry Herb Unearthed, Season 2, Episode 2. This is a whole season of conversations with up-and-coming artists and bands that are shaking things up and pushing music forward. This week, we will be talking to the indie rapper Bodhi. I first heard Bodhi at a 16th birthday party. For some reason, his song Soupy Sunday was on repeat. The song is a nonsensical conversation about soup, but something about it made me and my friends learn all of the words. Flash forward to this year, and I find the song called August on my Discover Weekly on Spotify. The vibe is way different, but again, there was something about it. I instantly added it to a playlist. Over the span of 3 years, Bodhi's discography has accumulated 2 full albums and a variety of singles, each one bringing fascinating music and honest, clever lyrics to the table. We were able to connect with Bodhi over phone and learn more about how his music comes to be and the collaborative processes that allows his media and live presence to be what it is. Let's go to that conversation now.
There was a gap between Into My Head in 2018 and then like the singles you put out this year, and that's a pretty substantial length of time. What was going on for you during that time?
So between, first of all, once I like had mostly finished recording Into My Head, it was a few months between that and when it was released. And so I was just kind of sitting, slowing down a little bit. So after it was released, I did a similar thing with the first album. Between the first and the second albums, I wanted to take some time to just like sit and not be making anything to make sure that I didn't just like make the same album twice.
Yeah.
And like had time to like reset and think differently about how I wanted to make things. And so after Into My Head, I started to take time for similar reasons, but on top of that, I wasn't feeling as strongly like inspired to release anything that I was making. The stuff that I was making were mostly beat ideas, and I wasn't really feeling strongly about anything lyrical I had or anything thematically, and so I was just sort of kind of waiting it out until I made something that made sense for me to put out, that I felt like I was proud enough of, and that actually had enough, that at least had some sort of reason behind putting it out other than just wanting to put out music. So then summer of 2019, I was just feeling a lot of, frustration with a lot of different things, and that's when August came about, and that felt like the right thing to put out. So that was part of the main reason behind the gap, was I just wasn't feeling like anything I was making needed to see the light of day necessarily until those singles.
We watched your the video, the making of 2025. You talked a lot about like the collaboration there, so we were wondering if you could like expand a little bit on how collaboration within your studio setting plays a role in the formation of your sound.
Yeah, totally. That was actually a first. Before 2025, I had never really worked in person with another producer, and I had rarely worked in person even with another vocalist. I moved into that studio around about like a week or two after August was released, so September of last year, September 2019. And before that, I had almost exclusively like worked alone. There was, on the first album, there's that a beat by the Italian band Cactus, but that was all done over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've worked with a couple other singers here and there, but nothing super intensive. And so having that studio that I moved into, you can see in the video that Charlie, aka Chazzy Lake, he's the guy who I co-produced 2025 with. Mm-hmm. He and I now work, well, now we can't go to the studio because everybody's inside. Yeah. But when we were allowed into the studio, we were working together a lot. And also we share that studio with some other musicians and band members of bands like Jay Bengoy and The Onlys. And so between the three of us bands, essentially, when I was allowed in the studio, I'd work a lot with them. But yeah, that's not happening as much right
now. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, that was long and confusing. Basically, I had never worked it closely with anyone else before I moved into that studio, which was like September of last year.
So, talking a little bit about your, like your lyrics, a lot of your lines are like really like clever, funny kind of like, one-liners with like double meanings. I know my favorite is the one from, Put Me Down, Baby, where you say, I take a whole lot of flack so my whole life can be lossless. Are these things you just like come up with, or do you like work them into the song at the spur of a moment, or is it a thing you like sit down and like try to think of like lines that will like make a person kind of chuckle when they're listening to the song?
Usually it's, well, first of all, I appreciate that you picked up on that thing.
He had to explain that to me. I didn't get it.
It's borderline. I guess my answer to this question is that I think of things like that a lot, and I'm always on the fence about like how douchey it is and how like dumb and annoying it is to hear just like a one-liner. But it's like that's what a lot of my humor is based around, is like puns and double entendres, and I really love it, so usually I don't care that much about how annoying it is. So yeah, but usually it's just like things that I'll think of just like throughout the day, and then sometimes I'll write it down if I think it's good enough. And then every once in a while, like I think with that line in particular, that might have just come out while I was like in a writing, like quote unquote, session in my head. I think it probably like works with the rhyme. I guess that's the combination of me loving puns and me really liking internal rhyme schemes usually just like brings words or like lines like that around.
Interesting.
I feel like this is a question we usually like to ask. I feel like a lot of people say that their music can like fit into more than just one genre, but yours like legitimately feels like it could fit easily into multiple categories. So we always like to kind of know, who are your influences that you like draw upon to create this blend of sound?
I listen to a lot of different types of music, but kind of everybody says that. But I really like, and I guess it's easiest for me to talk about the influences that went into my head, because to me that feels like the most kind of like thematically cohesive album. For on the production front, I really love New Order. Y'all know New Order?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are one of my favorite bands, and I was getting into them and a lot of other 80s music right around the time that I started making Into My Head. So a lot of like 80s synth pop and things like that, I'm a big fan of. And then current pop also has a big influence on me. I'm a big fan of Lorde's album Melodrama, which was produced by Jack Antonoff. A lot of his productions I'm a fan of. I guess also in like the rap sphere, a pretty obvious and big influence throughout my career has been Kanye. Mm-hmm. And just his production style combined with his like lyrical abilities, which are very like pop leaning, but not in a, I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean, like, he really gets down to the basis of, you know, interpersonal connection, and the things he say kind of really resonate very easily.
I also kind of feel like, in terms of, like, personality, not that your personality seems that similar to Kanye, but, like, the way you both kind of convey that through, like, your lyrics, like, I feel like your songs have a lot of personality to them. Like, it kind of feels like it's the person is in the room with you and just, like, having a conversation, kind of, you know?
Hell yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's one of my main goals, has been to just sort of communicate myself through the music I make. So that is nice that that's how you feel.
Under normal circumstances, when, like, the whole world isn't locked down, do you perform a lot?
Do I perform a lot?
Yeah.
The answer was no for a minute. And then just starting this year, I was doing a really good job, and then all the shows got canceled.
Right.
I was not performing too much for a while, just because it's, you know, I like make everything on my computer, and then I record it, like, with me and my brother and my friend Zach, who engineers it, or my friend Charlie. And so it's not like I'm, it's not like live performance is very deeply built into when I make my music. And so it was harder for me to figure out how I wanted to do things on stage, for a while. But then once I, my brother and I performed together, he goes on stage with me. And so once we figured out that that worked, it was a lot easier to start playing shows. And I was just starting to do a good job of it this year. I had like one lined up every month so far. But then in March and April got canceled. And...
dang.
So what's the energy like at one of your shows?
I try to make it very high. My brother and I will be, you know, bouncing around on stage. We both have microphones, and he'll kind of be a hype man-ish, but also kind of take on, like, if there's another persona in one of the verses, he'll kind of take that on and rap the whole verse like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Things like that. We'll do a lot of dancing and jumping and trying to get into the crowd and dance with them.
We'll be right back to the interview after this message from our sponsor.
Switching gears a little bit, your music videos are awesome. We went on like a binge of your music videos. But they're like really visually appealing and like engaging, even though they're like kind of seemingly straightforward. So we just were wondering if you could talk about that a little bit, like who and like what do you work with to bring those concepts into a reality?
Totally. My brother, again, his name is Kale. And he has made all my videos. He is really fantastic. Yeah. That's what, he's a really fantastic videographer, and that's what he's been doing his whole life. And in the past, like, what is the 4-ish years, I guess, he's been making music videos for like anybody and everybody. And, we're from Vermont, and he was living in Vermont for, a while after high school and just making music videos for everybody up here. And he is really good at it. And so, we have worked together on all the videos. And it's, a lot of it is, we'll start with his concept and then I'll just sort of suggest things and tweak as we go. But yeah, so it's a collaborative process once the ball gets rolling. Usually the general concept will come from him, or I'll suggest something and then he'll run with it in terms of like actually getting it done.
Okay.
That's kind of not lucky, but I feel like a lot of people don't have that sort of like collaboration in their like I don't know, sphere of influence or whatever, but to just have like someone who you're literally related to that understands that kind of media is really cool.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I think a lot about how if I didn't have him as a brother, my visual identity would be a lot. Well, maybe by now I would have figured it out, but just because he's around to like advise on every piece of it, like album covers and everything like that. He's made the album covers, both of, or all of them. And just things like that. It's really, especially with Instagram and everything, the visual identity is really important. And having him around has been really key in that. Yeah, I'm very lucky for that.
Yesterday, I watched your the video where like you're graduating. It's like Amazing Part One, I think.
Yeah.
And that is just like the coolest video I've ever seen. Like, I don't. How did you? I don't know. It's really cool.
It makes me really happy that you like it so much. That was Kale's idea from the beginning. So we hadn't. I had just finished. That was my senior year of college. I made that album. And then I put it out about a month before I graduated. And Kale, my brother, and my sister and my mom were all going to come out for my graduation. And we hadn't been living in the same place for a while. So Kale was like, oh, while I'm there, we should do a video. I was like, great, that'd be awesome. Originally, we were going to do one for Head in the Clouds with like a bigger concept, but it didn't really work out. And then he was like, well, I think it'd be fun for a quick video at least to like use one of your shorter songs and like film you from the crowd at your graduation. And so I was like, sweet, that sounds awesome. And so I got, my roommate had like Bluetooth headphones.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was wondering how you were so like in sync with
it. Right. It was actually really perfect that he had, that the Bluetooth headphones he had, or like, they're like those little capsule ones, you know, the ones I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it almost looks like a bullet.
Yeah.
They really hit in my ears well. And so, yeah, so just during the ceremony, I would play the song on my phone and do a couple takes and look up at the camera. And, yeah, and then editing it, he was like, I don't know, this might not be that great. But, you know, at least we have, or sorry, not editing it. After we shot it, he was like, yeah, you know, it might be okay, but at least we have like a nice memory of your graduation. And then when he was editing it, he was like, oh, actually, this might be really cool. And so yeah, it worked out really nicely.
Did anyone look at you weird that you were like lip syncing a song as you were graduating?
A little bit. It's not, the school I went to was a pretty, not small, but like mid-sized school. There's like 5,000 undergraduate students. So my graduating class was like 1500, I guess. So I knew most of the people around me. And so I like told a few people what was going on, and they mostly just left me to it.
Okay.
That's cool. And then, this question, you might have a little bit of a complicated answer to it with, you know, like we said before, like everyone's schedule is radically changing, but like, what is the rest of 2020 looking like for you and your career?
The part of it that got up was I would usually probably say I'm trying to play a lot of live shows, so we don't really know what's going to happen with that right now. But it's also not like I got specifically fucked by that, because everybody's getting screwed in that regard, across the board. And there was a really good meme, you know the handshake meme.
Yeah.
One side was world famous DJs and the other side was indie DJs, and they were over zero gigs. So yeah, everybody's getting screwed by that. So that'll be okay. I think we'll all collectively come out of that okay. What has worked out kind of not like nicely, but like is proving to be an okay part of this, is I was already getting set on settling down to try and make a third album. Mm-hmm. And so all this time inside with no other obligations is kind of working well for that.
Yeah.
Obviously, the state of the world isn't lending super well to a lot of creativity necessarily. But I'm having a lot of time to sort of think about what I want it to sound like and starting to dig up some old beats and make some new ones and see how that's going. So I think my main focus, at least for the next few months, is going to be working on that album.
This episode of Industry Herb was produced by Lainey Kitchmenda and edited by Ned Kitchmenda. Huge thank you to Bodhi for calling in. The song in the intro was Darko by Bodhi. You can find Bodhi's music on Spotify or Apple Music or by clicking the link in our description. Our outro music is by OK Thanks Baby and will also be linked in the description. Graphic design for this episode was done by Liam Fitzsimmons and logo design by Andre Frew. Check out our Instagram at IndustryHerbPod and feel free to reach out to us with any suggestions for future interviews and podcasts. As always, thanks for listening and stay tuned for more interviews coming on Season 2 of Industry.